So we'll study together كده Act chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost, and we will try to connect it to today. How can we use the same tool of like in the Holy Spirit, whatever happened in the Pentecost day? So if you don't.
كده كويس.
So Acts chapter 2. We'll do it like a Bible study, but more discussion. Like I will not talk too much. كده يعني we need to discuss together. Can someone read it كده loudly?
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in. Let me start over. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven.
So we just started reading Acts chapter 2 about the Pentecost. And as we know, like what the Pentecost, the word Pentecost mean. Penta means five.
Seven.
Seriously? No. No, octa is eight. That's what we get. Octa is eight. Penta is five. Pentecost is the 50 days. So Pentecost, it was a kind of celebration. It's the harvest. Sorry. Tamer, exactly. So it was, anyway, it was a day of celebration of the harvest, right? So it was a big day, and people came from everywhere to Jerusalem to celebrate this day. That's why there was a lot of people from Egypt, from Libya, from Middle East, from Greece, from all Jews, people came from all over the world, and they celebrate the Pentecost day. So what happened? From what we read now, this only the paragraph. What happened? Can someone share, like, from what happened? Okay, we read the first paragraph of the chapter 2 of the Acts. If you can open it and share with us your thoughts. So what happened?
Tongues of fire, and they all started speaking different languages.
So suddenly, like there was like 120 people, men and women, and there's, as Sammy said, like rushing winds and fire, tongues, and to each and separate on each one, okay. But there was one word. It was very important in this paragraph. So how they were together, like they gathered together in one. In what? There was one word that's very important before this happened. Yes, it's one accord. So one, they were sitting together in one accord. What that mean? One accord means. Like when we hear one accord, what does it mean? بنفس واحدة. One accord, which is like they're like one accord, like harmonious. So they were all in Arabic, nafs wahida is one accord. After they have this kind of condition, the Holy Spirit came, and it came in a different in like very strong way. It came with wind, fire, different tongues. Why do you think that? Why God like use this wind and fire and tongues? Why? What the reason? And why we don't have it now? Like if we have the Holy Spirit. So what the reason God used this in the past, and why not now? Why we don't feel that? Why wouldn't, when we get like the communion, we don't have like fire and wind, and we don't speak Spanish or something like that. So why God used this kind of like very fireworks stuff?
I know that the tongues, we don't need it for now. That's why, like, we don't have it. If there's, like, one third of the question.
So, let's go back one step back. God, while he's ascending to the heaven, he told them, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave it. Like, just stay until I send the Holy Spirit, right? So they were sitting, waiting for how many days? How many days after this happened? And this was the day number 50. Jesus ascended in the day number 40. He stayed 40 days after resurrection. Okay. I think we can order the pizza now. So God, after resurrection, he stayed 40 days talking about his resurrection and how from Moses, and he started to prepare them. And he did something very important. He breathed on them, on disciples, and tell them, receive the Holy Spirit. When this happened? A lot of questions there. So he resurrected in day number, let's say them number one. Okay? And then Sunday, first Sunday, the resurrection happened. Second Sunday, he came, which is Thomas Sunday, right? And he did something very important. He breathed on them and told them, receive the Holy Spirit. So what the difference between receive the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit actually came physically? Why he didn't give the Holy Spirit right away? So what the difference between this happened, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them, like, received the Holy Spirit, and now in day number 50, the Holy Spirit came. What difference? Hard questions? Okay. I'm sorry. Anyone? Al fikra, people who were in trip, Abuna, he talked about it. So, in the cruise, Abuna gave. You can feel cruise, most probably no one get. Who were in the trip? Not you, yeah, I know. I know you, the video that didn't show you. Okay. Yeah, the same topic, the same kind of setting. Okay, but he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit came. So he was like instituting the church. He was like, give them the authority. Like, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sin, it will be forgiven. This is in the second week of the resurrection, even before the Holy Spirit actually came on them. So give them disciples. They were the only 12 disciples. And they're giving men the authority of the priesthood, the authority, which was given from Abuna now. Abuna, when he give us the absolution, was like, you forgive the sin, it will be forgiven. This is the authority of the Holy Spirit. But now, in the 50 days, after 50 days, it came with wind, and it came with fire. God was trying to tell them, okay, it is really the Holy Spirit. It came with like a lot of physical stuff and very strong stuff. And this is the meaning of sacraments here. In sacraments, we have water, very normal water. But when we get into this water, it's not normal water. But we cannot see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a wind, right? It's like air. We can't see it. We can't see the Holy Spirit. But we only can feel the water, right? Okay. So I don't see the water. I can't see the Holy Spirit. So it could be that way. It could be that way. Abuna is getting the kid in the air, and is like, he received the Holy Spirit. Like in the sacrament, it deals with us in two different ways. In our physical way, like our since we feel the water, we feel the water, which is not normal water. We believe this is the water with the Holy Spirit. We get the Holy Spirit. Same with the communion. I see the bread and wine, right? But the bread and wine, which when it combined with the Holy Spirit, it's not only anymore the bread and wine. It's the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. So this is the same way. Here, the starting, the birthday of the church, the sacramental way, is like a wind, a very like strong wind, and then fire and tongue, different tongues on every one. So why didn't come with a one fire to the whole church, the 120? Why it came to each one separately? Do you have any thoughts, any idea? Why just said like, it says here, appeared as on fire set upon each of them. Like, why God didn't use it like a one big fire would be for the everybody? What do you think?
I think it's because it's more unique and it's personal. It's a personal relationship that we all develop with the Holy Spirit. So it's to really cement that uniqueness from person to person.
So it's everyone has a unique relationship with God. What else? What else?
Because like if the Holy Spirit exists within each of us individually and collectively as a church, so it's just like it's driving that point home where it's like, that Spirit dwells within all of us individually.
So it's for each one individually. And one more reason is like, in the church, even now, we are different. And we have to accept. We are different not because we have, because God meant us to be different. I have different skills than you. So we are all the body of Jesus Christ. So maybe I present the very small finger of Jesus Christ, and maybe Mina represent the leg, and Tamer present what? The stomach? Okay, whatever. So the head is Jesus Christ himself. We are the church. We are the body. And the body has different organs. Like, I can't say because I am a very small finger, I can't say, مثلاً, Mireille, she is representing the eye, so she's better than me. No, all of us has different skills, and all of us, at the end, we are one body. At the end, we cannot, like, I can't say, the body can't say, okay, I don't need the eye for now. Or the little small finger, if it has pain, I'll ignore it. We can cut it, you know? We can't do that. We are one body, and we are different skills. And that's how Paul said that. So there was wind and there's fire. But why fire again? Like, why God choose fire? He could choose something like nicer, right? Yani, مثلا flowers, حاجة كده. Okay, so Sammy's telling is like it represents the divinity of the Holy Spirit. What else? So back to the Old Testament. Do you remember what happened when Solomon built the temple? Anyone remember? What happened? Okay. Let's start with the temple, yeah. When Solomon built the temple, what happened when they get sacrificed? A fire came from heaven and ate the sacrifice. That means God says that, okay, I accept the sacrifice. So the fire from the Old Testament, it came. It didn't happen all time, by the way. Sometimes we assume that every time there was a sacrifice, there a fire come from heaven. It didn't happen only twice. One with the Solomon and one with Elijah. You remember Elijah when he says, okay, he put water on the altar and he tried to, he prayed and then fire came. So it was like God accept this thing. And then God, at this Pentecost day, he's like, okay, I accept now the new church. This will be my church. This is my temple. That's number one. Number two, the fire, always the fire change the nature of whatever happened. Like, if the fire combined with anything, it changed it. The Holy Spirit, sometimes I can say, I'm not sure if I can say that, but there is, sometimes we ignore the Holy Spirit in the church. I don't know why. But I mean, we don't speak too much about the Holy Spirit. However, like all the gifts, like one of the saints said, like all the gifts from God the Father, we receive it by or through the Son, by the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. All the sacraments, it's about the Holy Spirit combined with the physical or seen stuff like water, oil, bread and wine. So it's all about the Holy Spirit. We deal, God give us everything by Holy Spirit. And by Holy Spirit, this is the only way we can be changed. Sometimes we see, or the comments come like, you know, I don't feel God in my life. I don't feel him. Like, I come to church, I go to communion, sometimes I confess, repent, but I don't feel it. I feel like I'm doing, yani, my prayers, yani, khalas, from, I don't know, I didn't, like, when I talk to God, I didn't feel God, he even, like, hears me. This is the role of Holy Spirit. Like, the Holy Spirit came to the disciples as a fire, like, you know, fire, because I can change you. Call me and I will change you. I can transform you to a different person. So,
Just like fire can be quenched, like it can either burn really bright or it can be quenched, same as the Holy Spirit. Like if we use it, it can be like it'd be really bright and beautiful and something for everyone to see, but you can also quench the Holy Spirit.
Another point. What the difference, and this is a question we need to answer, what the difference between Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and Holy Spirit after the Pentecost? So that will touch this point. So, there was a Holy Spirit in the Old Testament or no? Yes? There was a Holy Spirit from the beginning, from even like the... Okay, again, another question, let's step back. When the first time we hear about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? In Genesis. Where in Genesis? Chapter 1. But the Holy Spirit was in the surface of the top of what? Of the water. That's right. So the Holy Spirit from the beginning. Did anyone in the Old Testament receive the Holy Spirit or no? Anyone? No? Okay, so don't cast away your Holy Spirit from me. So there was some people who received the Holy Spirit.
Well, whenever God acted towards humanity, he always did it through the Holy Spirit. So you could make the argument that every time there's an action from God, the Holy Spirit was the one that was doing the work.
Okay, but did anyone receive the Holy Spirit dwelling in him? Like clearly says that, I will give you the Holy Spirit. No? Anyone other than no? Actually, it was in the Old Testament. Only certain people received the Holy Spirit by like their like kings, prophets, some judges. So that, like Samuel, for example, when he consecrated David as a king, he came with the oil and he consecrated him. Saul, we can read from in Saul like the Holy Spirit or God departed him after sin. So this is number one. So there are only certain people receiving the Holy Spirit, right? For a mission. Like people, they have a mission. They can keep it like David. They kept it, but he kept it. But Saul, he didn't keep it because after sin, and he insists on it, the Holy Spirit departs from him, and the devil spirit or the bad spirit came to him. And he started to be like crazy, and you know, when David come and play music for him. You remember that? So there was for a mission. If there's a king or a priest or a prophet. That's why in the New Testament we hear something like, we all priests. And some other brothers are like, okay, there is no priest, now we all priests. No, he was talking about, now we all receive the Holy Spirit. We can receive the Holy Spirit like priests in the Old Testament. So there is something called general priesthood. All of us, we have general priesthood. But of course, there is a specific, like Abuna, he's a priest. But we, the general priesthood, because we're a temple of God, so we're responsible. Now the difference again, the Holy Spirit can depart from whoever get it. But now, the Holy Spirit we got from the baptism, it will never leave you. But what will happen, St. Paul says? There's three or four cases, like or situation. Number one is, you grieve the Holy Spirit. How can I grieve the Holy Spirit? So the Holy Spirit is sad, or uncomfortable. Like, you know, he's not, he wanna work in you, but you know, he's not that strong. He's trying to find, like, work like a fire, but there is no kind space. You don't give him space by sin. Your sin can grieve the Holy Spirit. And there is another one who's like, as you said, Sammy, quench it. Quench it like what? Like, it's like you get a water and pour in the Holy Spirit. I don't need this power in my life. And then you can, even to the extent you resist the Holy Spirit. It's not only you quench it and grieve him. No, I will do whatever opposite to the Holy Spirit. But it will never leave. He will never leave you. He will never leave you. Once you get him in the Holy, in the baptism and confirmation by Myron, he will never leave you. But sometimes he's not working with you. Like an example, like what's called the house power when we try to put light on the church. You can try here to turn it on from here, but if the power from inside is switched off. Like I don't know what's called, like Adam, not electric, the generator? Yeah, the switch inside, I don't know, whatever it's in, so you know what I'm talking about. If the switch from inside is turned off, you can't do whatever from outside, it will not do it. That's what in our life. Sometimes we try to turn our spiritual life from outside. But at the same time, we grieve and resist and quench the Holy Spirit from inside. So whatever you can do from outside, it will not work. There is something not working from inside. And how can we turn it on again? Can we do it again? Like, can we turn or the fire the Holy Spirit inside us? To be practically speaking, how can we do that? How can we get the fire again? Looks like a very interesting topic, you know. It's like,
my assumption would be the first step would probably be taking communion, but actually, like, believing in the power of communion. Yeah, exactly. So there's, we might, you know, sometimes take communion as a regular habit where we just take it and we don't feel the power of the communion working in us. However, if we do allow that power to work in us, we can see a lot of changes happening from there.
So believing communion, not taking it as a habit, what else? So like now today, I feel like I don't have a really a good relationship as a fire, you know, inside me with God, and I really need to do that. I want it. How can I do it? Communion is number one. Any other way? Like, we have the Holy Spirit. We have to agree on this first, number one. Do we have the Holy Spirit inside us? Whatever happened, whatever we did, we have the Holy Spirit. Do you feel like Holy Spirit can leave you? Anyone So we agreed on this. We have, all of us, we have the Holy Spirit through the baptism. So what happened? We don't feel it. Because we grieve him, we quench him, we resist. I hope no one resists him. But what else can I get the fire on in me, on me? How can I do that? Fish?
Well, Melissa said pray, and I think you have to like ask for it. It's the grace of God. He's gonna help.
You pray and ask.
It's the
same like
French language. The French language is too difficult. You have to keep it, and you have to practice. For example, I know French, but if no practice, you will maybe forget how to say some words. This is a problem. The same like the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit needs some practice. Like every day, if there is no practice with God, there is no Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be off, which is a problem.
So, all the sacraments we have in the church, we get combined with the Holy Spirit in a different ways. Like in the baptism, we get the Holy Spirit in us, right? And the confirmation, we get like, for every single part in our body, we consecrate with the Holy Spirit. And then in the communion, we have our Lord Jesus Christ inside. He feed us with Jesus Christ. In the repentance and confession, the Holy Spirit, we get the Holy Spirit in the kind of forgiveness. Right? So we have the Holy Spirit in every single thing we do in the church. But as Mina said, it's not as a habit. We have to believe. We have to come here and it's like, really, like when we get to communion, we pray. And even Abuna prayed that in a kind of, not loudly, but when Abuna asked for the Holy Spirit to come and to change the bread and wine to the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, ask him, Holy Spirit, come on me. As you change this bread and wine, the holy flesh and blood, it changed me. I need you to change me. Come upon me. I'm not sure, Abuna, what the prayer is saying exactly. Abuna, ممكن يقول لنا. When you بتقول كده صلاة سرية في استدعاء الروح القدس.
Like conclusion, I'm not worthy to be here at church, and I'm talking to God that I want to receive the Holy Spirit to transfer myself and also the bread and the wine into his holy body and the precious blood. And exactly what I'm saying, that I'm waiting that the Holy Spirit dwell in me and transfer me also too. That's why this is the beginning. In the beginning, I'm not worthy. The first one, the second one, I'm telling him, I'm not worthy to take your body in my hand, and I want to receive the Holy Spirit, okay, to transfer me and transfer also everything on the altar. That's why I'm saying the holy to the holy, the holy for the holiness. It's a word, because we will transfer also to. If I'm not worthy to take the communion, it's very hard. That's why it's, take care about this. Okay, that's why God give us like his compassion and his mercy. We take the communion without any, or we're not worthy, but he transfers us also to. That's why we receive the Holy Spirit in during the liturgy. That's why.
So let us compare now the disciples, our people, the 120 people were in the church at this time, before and after. So what the difference the Holy Spirit made for these people? And that will give us an idea what the Holy Spirit can also transform us to. So the first thing, what the first change happened to these people, the 120? Like, any, not even, it doesn't have to be in order. Like, what kind of a change you notice after the Holy Spirit come on them, upon them? Any change, like, happened to these people? So confidence. So before the Holy Spirit come upon them, they were very confused. They didn't even know what's going on. Jesus Christ, even after resurrection, they were like really afraid, and they didn't go anywhere, and they were confused. But now, they're confident to come and speak about Jesus himself. Like Peter, before this, he was like very afraid, like very much like, you know, he denied Jesus Christ in the first place. Like, I don't know him. Three times. I really don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. But now, he can stand before 3,000 people and talk about what's going on from the Old Testament till now. So number one, confident. What else? Did they give him any kind of knowledge? Like, we never seen, like, St. Peter now, Jesus called him 3 years ago and told him, okay, from now you will not be, you will not work as like a fisherman. You will what? I don't know. Sorry? Fisher of men? Whatever. Oh, the fisher of men, okay. But for 3 years and 3.5 years, he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. The only thing he was saying is something like really not wise. Like every time St. Peter is talking, he was talking like in a way, like get Jesus, you know, answer him in a strong way. Like to the extent he told him, get away, like get, you're like the devil is talking to you. But now he was talking in front of 3,000 people. And by the way, if you read the sermon of St. Peter, it was a very poor one. Like any one of us here can get a very much better one. It wasn't a very strong sermon. However, 3,000 people get baptized in this day. What does it mean to us today in our service? Sometimes we go in service and was trying to prepare our lesson and try to get it in a nice presentation and try to, you know, get as much people as I can in the place, but we forget to pray. I'm talking about myself. I'm sure everybody here doing that, like to pray before the lesson, whatever. Without the Holy Spirit, you can say whatever. Yani, say what, like, very, yani, حاجة كده, ceremony رهيبة. بس, without the Holy Spirit, you will not get any fruit. And you can be like yani, a fisherman. He doesn't know what to do. He never talked about this before. And in a very poor sermon, but with the Holy Spirit, you can get 3,000 people coming to you and telling you, okay, now what to do? What to do? And the answer of what to do is what? Can anyone read it? In after the ceremony, in that was a very big one. Yes, in number 20, the verse number 37. Yeah. Someone can read it, Martha.
Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call."
So what the answer to the question was? The first word was? Repent. So, to get the action, to get the power of the Holy Spirit, number one is to repent. This is number one. I'm almost done. We'll conclude in a minute. But today, let's talk about us today. How can we get the same way? How can we get whatever action, whatever power got in the Pentecost, how can we get it? That's the most important. Like, whatever happened, it happened. It will not happen again. Don't expect it happen again. Like, you know, we call the Holy Spirit and it will come with wind and fire, because actually we don't need that, right? So we don't need tongues now, right? Because some people, like, you know, when you go to some church and you feel like if you fill with the Holy Spirit, and you will speak different tongue, okay? Do we need a different tongue right now? I don't think we didn't. Like, so it doesn't have to be with tongues, but it happened in a different way now. It happened in a quiet time, actually. It happened quietly. It happened with prayer, as Mariam said. It happens with repentance. It happens with the sacraments. And again, the most important action and power of the Holy Spirit is change. The fire of the Holy Spirit not coming now with a fire on each one, but the fire inside to change us from inside. The transformation, it's a life process, lifetime process. It's not like I saved now, I'll be like, you know, I got the Holy Spirit and No, it's a lifetime process. And as we said, like, the Holy Spirit, when it comes, it gives knowledge, it gives confidence to spread the word of Jesus Christ. It gives skills too. It gives us skills. And this is important because sometimes we deal with God as He is the one of the spiritual life. Like, when I need something spiritually, I go to God. When I need something like personally to change something, my personality, I go to school. Like, sometimes we deal with God that way. It's God who is the spiritual one. Like, when I need to repent, I go to Abuna and get the communion and stuff. But something in, like, I have fear of something, I have whatever, I don't go to God, because this is something I can't deal with it in a doctor office or in a kind of school that give me knowledge. What do you think? Can God also change, or can the Holy Spirit also change something in my personality or not? What do you think? Like, who has the confidence of, like, say, okay, when I change something in my personality, I go to God also and He can change that to me? Can we say that? Can we confidently say that? Yes? Yes. So also today we can call the Holy Spirit, and whatever happened in the Pentecost without that kind of physical stuff happened because they were needing that, but now even quietly the Holy Spirit can come and give us change us, give us knowledge, better knowledge with God, give us good relationship with God. I'm done, I think. Questions? It seems like you guys seem like really enjoying the topic, so I'll have to stop here. So.
I really enjoyed the topic. I have a question. What's the difference between when we receive the Holy Spirit here, when Rabbana goes after everyone in the world, like, even though some people weren't baptized, like He goes, He tries to reach everyone in the world, That's why He says the worst sin is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Some people, like, don't have it from the baptism, but, like, do you understand?
Now we receive the Holy Spirit in the baptism.
So what's the plasma for the Holy Spirit anyway? How would you define that? What definition of plasma? Rejecting God. So if you reject God now, there is no forgiveness? If you go back. So it means that you're rejecting till death. Like you resist and you reject, and it's like, God, stay away. I don't know. This is my choice not to deal with you. I don't have any relationship with you until my life ends. So for sure, there is no forgiveness after life, after death. So there is no forgiveness. However, people, they didn't receive the Holy Spirit in the baptism. First of all, when God breathed in Adam, what was that? Like in the beginning, God, he created Adam and he breathed in him. What did he, was it the Holy Spirit or no? Who said yes? Yes, the Holy Spirit. So when God breathed on Adam, was the Holy? That means every single one has the Holy Spirit in him. Okay. So after the sin, he took him. Like okay. So that's very important. When God breathed on Adam, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was not the Holy Spirit. It was the soul, like the living soul. He gave him the life, right? And this is in every single one. Like you're alive because God breathed in Adam in the beginning a life. This is different than the Holy Spirit. So every single one has this living soul, right? But not everyone has the life itself, the source of life. That's the difference between Holy Spirit, the living soul, and the source of life. We got the source of life, the Holy Spirit in the baptism. And not everyone got this. Is the willing, the will of God is to give the Holy Spirit to every single one, right? But at the end of the day, it's your choice. You can say, yes, I accept, or no. To accept the Holy Spirit, you have to, as it says in the Bible, you have to first repent and believe, and then you can get the Holy Spirit in the baptism. I mean, I don't want to go down to the, like, what will happen to people who doesn't have the Holy Spirit or no. To be honest, because sometimes we spend time discussing that, and we ourselves, like, we're, like, at the end of the day, I believe we will find people we are discussing, oh God, haram, they will be away from your heaven, and they will be the heaven, and I'm not sure about myself. So, like, I don't want to spend time in this, but God's will is everybody get the Holy Spirit, right? We have to make sure that. And God, he will do whatever to, like, everybody will receive the Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, he can reject till the end. And if reject till the end, it's his will. Like, it's a kind of, not punishment, but it's his will. My will is not to receive the Holy Spirit, so, okay. You don't want to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure this answers your question or no.
So, how can you reject the Holy Spirit if you don't have it in the baptism?
The baptism. You refuse to come to the baptism. You refuse the Holy Spirit from the beginning. I don't want you. So, we believe that, and this is very important why, because we believe that God reached every single one in the world. But this is kind of responsibility on each one of us. Because sometimes I am be the message. It might be, you might be the message for a person for his first and last time ever. And you don't miss up this message. Don't miss up this opportunity. And that's why the Bible says, be ready. Be ready to answer whoever ask you about the hope in you. Be ready, because sometimes God will use you, maybe at workplace or the school or in the school, whatever, someone will ask you a question or someone will deal with you in a second, and you will be the message of him. You will be the message of God to this guy. That's why it's be ready, because sometimes God will ask you, you were the message to this guy and you messed up, and he will ask you, like, about him. So it's very important. I'm not sure. Okay.
Holy Spirit and conscience.
That's a good question. What the Holy Spirit between what difference between the Holy Spirit with Damir conscious? Okay. The Holy Spirit is God, right? We talk about this in the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit, who's the Holy Spirit, is a God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, right? God does not change. God is a source of life. However, a Damir, like if I have been born كده لو احنا موجود raised in a ناس كده اللي هو drug dealers, right? I will be a good drug dealer. I am drug dealer too, بس يعني in a different way. لا هاي لا يعني I'm a pharmacist يعني. No, but I mean لو انا raised in a كده community كلهم thieves, I will be a very committed good thief. That means my conscience, my damiri, هيبقى ايه as a good damir for these guys. So a damir changed. I can like damirak can be changed in whatever you have been raised in. But the Holy Spirit no. So everybody has damir inside him, right? But not everybody has Holy Spirit. لا قولي عايز تقول ايه كلمه الضمير. So yeah, it's whatever you you can change طبعا الكونشس او الضمير والحاجات كده, لكن Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit it's only received by the baptism and of course it's not a change, it change you, he's changed you but you will not change him because there is no God does not change. And again, like when God breathed on Adam, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it's the living soul. Answer your question? Did I answer? Thank you. Any other question?